So let's see, one question for Varn. How long do you think it'll take you to develop a cash flow report for the first 3 or 4 months and a forecast for the rest of the year based on that? When can we expect that?
Okay, I have a cash flow for the end of the month for the national office. What will happen is as we close the books, we get to close from each one of the business managers, each one, like I have with KPFK, should have an idea of a cash flow close at least through the second quarter. So after we close the books, like I said, it's currently scheduled. They have it done by the 20th. So I'll know, by the end of the month.
Okay.
Or a little before.
So how long do you think it'll take to get together something like that?
To do the report is just putting the numbers in. So it depends on if I can get the information, how current, how people aren't getting information in. Like I said, I have KPFK's. Efren does his. He actually operates on a closed calendar that gives you information so that you can actually make decisions within the month.
So you're saying that you'd expect we'd get the information to national office by the 20th of the month, and then after that you could put the report
right.
together.
Exactly. Okay. That should happen.
Okay, all right.
I have a question.
LeVon. Let's see, is there anybody else? Let's see, we have
Sherry.
Grace and Sherry. So we'll have first Grace and then Sherry.
I'm concerned about any large sums of money owed to vendors who might, if we go too long not paying them, throw us into bankruptcy court. Particularly, are we up to date in our rent payments for the WBAI offices and tower?
Based on what I have here in the reports that I have of today, that it does not show that we don't have it set up to that there is that WBI is that would be in arrears and would not make their scheduled rent payment for this month. But
was that response?
We'll just have to see. I'll have to check on it to see.
Okay, I'm concerned about that, so that would be good to know for sure.
Okay.
I didn't really hear the response. I heard the question, but the response was...
Okay, so you didn't hear my response. I said when I'm looking at my reports for the national office, we don't have anything scheduled to pay for BAI's rent. So then I would think until I check and know anything told anything different, that I would think that they were paying their rent for this month.
Are Paul treasurer? I'm sorry. Can I just have a follow up for a second on that?
Yes, R. Paul. Do you have any other information on this question?
Well, I can tell you that the general manager at a recent meeting disputed the idea that BAI was behind in rent. So,
okay.
We're having our next local finance committee meeting tomorrow night, so I'll raise the question tomorrow night.
Okay,
well,
thank you, R. Paul.
I'll be talking with Riddle Tony in the morning about audit reports, so I'll just confirm it with him myself.
LeVon, can you clarify? You said you don't have any transfers to WBAI scheduled, so you think they're okay on rent? You said you don't have rent scheduled. What?
I said I don't have anything to show that we're planning to pay to for BAI for this month for rent.
Okay.
All right. Let's see, Grace, are you all done?
Yes.
Okay, then next on the stack is Sherry.
Okay, I have two things. I just want to respond. A renter, a landlord, cannot throw us into bankruptcy court, pick people up and throw them there. They can sue us for breach of contract or they could do an unlawful detainer for unpaid rent, make a demand, a 3-day notice to quit or whatever is appropriate in New York, but that procedure is an action of a creditor against a debtor for unpaid money or breach of contract. It's not throwing people into bankruptcy court. And I think that would be a long road for us, though, and a very unpleasant one, because our assets at this point far outnumber our liabilities, but we have no ability to pay our debts as they become due, which is a different situation and one that might be called insolvency or cash poor. I'm not clear about when we're going to get the cash flow from the national office and whether or not that report will include the entire network, all six units, seven units, whatever they are. And I'd also like a report of the actual net money received from the affiliate's account.
I can send that to you. Lynn has already prepared that report. So, and it's pretty detailed.
Good. I would love to.
Can you let me see if I have it on my desk here.
Will you send that to everybody?
Absolutely. You know what? What I need someone to do is to send me an email, or perhaps Jamie can, of all of the addresses.
Yeah. Why don't, Lavon? Why don't you send it to me, and I'll send it out.
Okay. Because through, I think the number I have year to date. Looks like 154,500. That's what it looks like.
That's the payment.
Right.
Been paid so far this year.
That's what I'm trying to. I have various reports on my desk in case anyone. Getting some numbers, so I think this is what I. And what was the other question? A point? Oh, about when it? I think I stated the way it's currently set up now is that the close is supposed to happen on the 20th. Well, on the 20th, assuming that everything comes in. And then what we would do is to input the information because we're like using after we get information we're using Excel spreadsheets to input a lot of information. So do that close and to make sure all that the bank balance bank done. And in fact, that then we'll know when there's a cash flow. So the exact date I really can't tell you. Only thing I can tell you is that. After the close, after the bank reconciliation, then we'll have a cash flow. We input it into a spreadsheet, and then it will come out. So that the date when that will accomplish after the close date, which is scheduled for the 20th, I can't give you a certain date.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to add to Sherry's urgency there. I believe getting an accurate cash flow report for the network and a forecast for the rest of the year is crucial because we really do need to decide what to do.
Yeah, how soon could you do a forecast, Lavon? How soon could you do a cash flow forecast?
How soon? Oh, I mean, as soon as we get the bank reconciliations from the stations and hours here, we could do it. You know, you could do off the cuff. You can get it done. But in terms of like putting it down on the sheets and adding in all of the inflows and the outflows, then that's another question. But I mean, I kind of know, or we are trying to know, almost daily where we think we are.
Right, so I guess my question is...
But right now, since I just started, I'm waiting for their bank reconciliation.
Right, so I'm hearing that you can't forecast based on January numbers until you actually have them, which is sometime after the 20th. The question is, can you do a forecast based on December numbers so we can start chewing on something?
Oh, I think the business managers are that's one of their, I believe that's one of their tasks is to do the forecast. So yeah, I mean that's a doable thing. You can always do a forecast based on a prior month. So you're saying a forecast through the. Well, see that's where we have to go out to the business managers and get their assistance in terms of because let me just tell you in the past, Mr. Hicks has done
forecast. I don't believe there was cash, but just in P&L forecast. And a number of the business managers and probably treasurers objected to it and didn't agree with it. And I actually said it was Lonnie's, it was Mr. Hicks' forecast. So, you know, yeah, we can, I can, I mean, you know, we can easily do a forecast projected on the information we have and get that out to you. So, you know, we can get a forecast done. I can do a forecast within a week, but I mean, in terms of something, what I would submit, I think that we could submit and actually own up to and be able to explain any variances to. But again, to do a reliable forecast, it has to be coordinated through the business managers at the station.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. I mean, you're the one who has to coordinate that now. So.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
So I just, I mean, I'm really worried. I'm worried about KPFK not making payroll in a week, right? And I'm worried about us having really necessary, not us, but the network, the National Office, WBAI, KPFK, having really necessary bills come due that they can't pay in a timely fashion. So even if they're rough numbers, I would love to see us start looking at numbers as soon as possible. So I'd just love to hear.
We are looking at numbers. I tell you, I have the numbers right here for the national office, the stations.
Great.
So the question
would be, when can you have a document that you can share with us that we can schedule a meeting around?
Like I said, I can, as soon as the closes are done and the bank reconciliations, and then we put it into a spreadsheet. And you know, once it's completed, I would think we would have one within a week.
Well, this is Grace. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. LaVorne, without mentioning a specific station,
right,
are you having trouble getting accurate and dependable reporting of cash flow from any of our stations?
Of course. But the cash flow is what I'm waiting for. I ask is that the business manager can't really do it until they do their bank reconciliation. So for example, KPFA, I talked with Maria, and she received her bank statements, I think, today or yesterday, and that's something she's going to start working on. So, you know, you can't do this until you get the data. You can't just, like, you know, look at the numbers and, like, project it out without doing your inflows, your outflows.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if people have done planning and analysis or done forecasts or done cash forecasts, but because basically we are not, it's not being done within Great Plains software. It's not like you can do this, put your data in, you know, post your stuff, spit out a cash flow or our general ledger. That information is put in there, then it's transferred to Excel spreadsheets, and that's what you have to do, so you're waiting for information. So, I'm not sure if people have had experience doing forecasts and how you have to have the real data to do this. So that's why when I'm trying to give you a number, I'm trying to think what I think can happen and what has been done in the past with Mr. Hicks. So that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Jamie?
Okay.
Yes, Alberto?
Can I direct a comment to Brian?
Sure.
Brian? Are you
here,
Brian?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of numbers ain't going to pay our bills, man. Can you enlighten me?
Thank you.
Well, we need to know.
we need to do triage, man.
Okay. I just wanted to make that point and get a feedback from you. Thank you.
I haven't heard a date yet, and I'm not sure if we're talking about a forecast based on December actuals, which I kind of heard LaVorne say she could work on right away, or if we're going to wait to have a forecast based on January actuals on cash flows.
I'd love is a date. Belaboring the point, I think you want me to give you a date. I can't give you a date, and I think that I can get back with you to give a date. If I can get something before then, I'll let the finance committee know. But I've told you the date of the close. I've told you they have to do bank reconciliations, and I would like to just move on.
Okay.
Go, Jamie.
Well, we do need an accurate cash flow report. I know that it's hard to get these things done, but, you know, so far this year, you know, it's been frustrating because we've been somewhat operating in the dark and not really knowing whether the new budgeting is going to make it so that we can make ends meet or whether we're still going to be in a hole. And right now it's starting to come clear that we are going to still be in a hole. So our thought, the thought is, well, now that we're in a hole, what are we going to do? And, you know, one needs a cash flow report to, you know, to make the best decisions possible. We are going to have to make hard decisions. So let's see.
Will the cash flow report be a quarterly report?
My understanding, Renee, is the report that LaVarne is talking about is one based on January actuals, which would be the first 4 months actuals, and then the hope is to have a forecast for the rest of the year based on that.
So January actuals, what does, when you say actuals, what do you
mean? October, yeah, November, December,
how
January.
How much money did we actually make, not what's in the budget? You know, let's say the fund drive, you said you were going to make $200,000 in listener support in January, but the fund drive was short. You actually only made $160,000. So you base your report on the real number, not what you estimated.
So the January actuals will be from just
October 1st.
January or from October 1st, the beginning
from October 1st
of
through the end of January, so the first 4 months of the fiscal.
So it's called year to date if it's from October through January.
Right.
January is just for the month of January, so that would be January actuals. October through January would be year-to-date actual.
But that's what we're talking about. LaVarne is a report based on the first 4 months actuals.
Yeah, that's what you would do, right? You would project it based on the first 4 months, and any information that we can get from the business managers in terms of if that would be, if you know if that how it impact the following 8 months of the fiscal year.
Gotcha.
And is that like a regular or kind of a customary accounting way to do stuff, to make projections? Based
oh, yeah, the forecast. You do forecasts, you do plans, you do budget. Some people call plans budgets, are basically the same. You do plan update if you see that your plan that you've actually developed is not consistent with if there are unusual events to make your plan not consistent with your actuals, then you could do a plan update. Like the Dignan recession, a reason to do a plan update?
My question was, is it like customary financial reporting to do the first 4 months of the fiscal year rather than the first quarter and then two quarters?
You do it, however, based on information that you have. I mean, you can do a quarterly or by each quarter for the forecast. But in each quarter, there's a month. So you're going to have to be able to forecast each month before you, because of the months, because of the calendar month, number of days, some payments are due at different times. So each month makes up the quarter, so you would have to do a forecast for that month.
I think, Renee, in answer to your question, the custom has been that we've gotten income statements every month and forecasts for the remainder of the fiscal year based on those income statements. So we get monthly reports. We've not gotten cash flows with that regularity. And I also have to say, outside of the budgeting process, we've never gotten a cash flow forecast all the way, at least in the recent past, all the way out to the end of the year, which would be a great thing to get. They've only usually only looked a couple months ahead because the national office, in the recent past, at least, seems to have been operating in crisis management mode, wondering how they're going to pay bills over the next 60 days, not even having time to look at the full fiscal year.
So you're saying, I'm asking because I don't know.
So monthly we're supposed to be, monthly we've gotten balance sheets and income statements and forecasts based on the income statements. We started getting actual cash flows monthly, but we haven't gotten cash flow forecast all the way out to the end of the fiscal year monthly.
So you get income statements every month, and you get cash flow statements every month.
Yeah.
This is LaVarne. Why don't I suggest that Brian, Renee, and I can perhaps talk another time to go over like how that's done, unless everyone else needs to hear this?
Well, actually, I think this is a good point, talking about the reporting that we've gotten and that we can expect to get is an issue that concerns me as well. I'll just chime in here. You know, Brian is correct. We have gotten income statements most every month, though it sort of seems to have broken down in the past, you know, several months.
So you're supposed to get income statements every month from the CFO and then also cash flow statements every month?
We haven't gotten cash flow statements every month, though given, you know, the current the interest in a cash flow statement from my point of view, and I think from other people's, is that given our current crisis and we, you know, we have cash management issues, we're going to have, you know, issues paying bills. We need to know our cash better with more precision than perhaps in previous years. So that's my...
So you're recommending that we get a cash flow statement every month?
Well, it'd be good. I don't know. We have to ask Love Arn how, you know, onerous a task that would be.
No, my desire is to have to know on a daily basis what cash we have in the bank from the stations and from the national office. So that's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. That's what my goal is, but I have to work with the business managers and to get that in process. So, yeah, my goals are the same with you guys, is to get, in fact, my goal is more urgent, is to get these, is to know what cash is in the bank at every station.
Based on the monthly income statements, you make a projection each month, you forecast to the end of the fiscal year? Is that what you were saying before?
Actually in the past, I don't know what line it was delivering, Mr. Hicks was delivering last year, but he did, usually at the bottom of the income statement, he would do a little cash thing where he would show his like basically the bank reconciliation and the major outlays in terms of his cash outlays for the income statement. So he was doing that in the past. So to give you just a general idea, but again, let me tell you what my goal is to know that status on a daily basis. So naturally, we could, when we get it rolled, get it in place to both the forecast for the P&L forecast and the cash and our cash flow, which is
you're kind of breaking up on me. Can you explain the forecast again?
The forecast is just your best estimate based on how things have gone so far and your expected payments and your expected income, your best estimate of
how it's going to go the rest of the fiscal year.
Yeah, and you know, this is an important issue for Pacifica because income doesn't come as a regular like a store.
Right.
Our income comes in these bursts of fund drive. So there will be moments like 2 or 3 months after fund drive when cash runs low. So that's, you know, that's what we have to plan for because you need some money. You can't really have negative money.
Okay.
It doesn't, you know, unless we're going to borrow more money. So that's basically, you know, we need forecasting now because we need to estimate our exposures and how we're going to pay bills throughout the rest of the year. It looks like there's going to be issues there, and a good forecast will help us make the best decisions possible.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Let's see. The next item was sort of what we're talking about now.
I had one quick question before we moved on.
Go ahead.
Specifically, Levarne, in terms of the February 15th payroll at KPFK, is that something, is there a plan for making it?
yes, there is. And... you want me to tell you what plan is?
It's just something that jumped out at me when I looked at what I saw on the balance sheet and the income statement. So, help me sleep easier tonight.
Okay, all of the, like, in terms of making of the rent for BAI, all of the things, cash, will be covered. So, I mean, I can't tell you the details right now, but it will be.
Right, payroll at KPFK.
Yes.
You said rent at BAI.
What's that?
You had said Brian asked about payroll at KPFK, and you actually responded regarding rent at BIA.
Oh, I was just saying as an example. It has to be taken care of. It has to be taken care of. I mean, there's that we cannot allow it not to. So we will have a plan, and when we get it in place, I will let you know. But no, we will. Not to worry.
Okay.
Sleep well tonight, Brian.
Well, you know, it's like.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Seemed like we got lost.
Hey, I one comment I wanted to make, Vaughn. Please do. If it's difficult to get the information that you need from the various parties around the network, I certainly hope that you let us, at least on the PNB, know that, because we really can't go on without getting good information.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I just want to throw out the reason, at least one reason I'm asking about cash flow forecasts and things like making this payroll and stuff last month, is that I think we all probably share a concern that we don't want large sums of money moved around the network without knowing about it in advance. I was reminded by one of our local members here that there's actually a standing resolution of the Pacifica National Board requiring notification of the National Finance Committee on all unbudgeted interdivision transfers, approval of transfers over $5,000, and approval by the National Board of transfers in excess of $20,000. Clearly, that's something that's been observed in the breach recently, but if it's standing board policy, and I actually think it's a good one, we should try to get a sense of when money's going to need to be moved around before it happens.
So you're saying that the policy is, one of the rules is that if we got to transfer $10,000 to WBAI to pay, or KPFK to pay the rent or pay the payroll, the National Finance Committee has notified?
Technically, I mean, on the amount you would need to do, if that was over $20,000, you'd need notification and you'd need to vote by the full board. This is actually a resolution you voted for when you were on the national board.
Okay, so it has to be done in a timely manner so they can vote. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Grace. Can I...
Go ahead, Grace.
Ryan, I'd like to request that you send that resolution, including the date that it was passed by the PNB.
That's a good idea.
Out to the Finance Committee and to the entire PNB.
That would be good.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just sent it.
Good.
Okay, great. I'd like to remind people, actually, I've put you all on the Yahoo group for the National Finance Committee. So if you just respond to my emails from that, it should go to everybody's email.
Do we have to join the Yahoo group?
I actually put you on. I just added you.
So does that mean we have to open up a Yahoo account?
You don't have to, but there are features of the Yahoo groups that, you know, we store files there, which you can get in the file section of the Yahoo group. If you'd like to access them that way, you need a Yahoo account. If you don't have one, I mean, I can send them to you. People can send them to you by regular by email, which is what I will do. But, you know, there are advantages, but it's not necessary.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Brian was concerned about national staffing. So why don't we move on to that point now? Brian, can you state your concern and hopefully...
Yeah, when I was trying to pull together figures for that national board meeting, I was confronted in the national office with a finance staff that had, you know, been reduced to one from four 12 months prior. And you have one person doing an immense amount of accounting in terms of trying to generate routine financial statements, which we absolutely need to do any kind of planning, and also to respond to requests from the auditors, and also to do our 990 tax filing, which is due shortly, and also to assemble the financial reporting data required by the CPB, which is significant. And there's consequences to falling behind any of those deadlines. There's also consequences to burning out the one accounting level staff we have in the national office. So my concern is that we, what we're doing to plug that hole. But it sounds like, Jamie, you know something more than I do about that situation now. So
yes, I'd like to have LaVarne answer that question.
Yes. We have a requisition for a position as FP&A analyst. So because I don't have an HR person, but now I will be able to get that posted tomorrow. Person here in the office, our payroll person, she can handle that. So we're going to post that, and we have a candidate identified, an internal candidate for that position. And in terms of all the reports, I'll be meeting with the main auditor tomorrow. We're going to meet. And, there are all of these CPD reporting that has to be done, which I have to go online and look at myself. And so we have the business manager from K is coming up to, and in fact, he's helping us over the this week in terms of getting the reporting done, and then he'll be up on tomorrow to work with us for 3 days to get the reporting done. So yeah, there is, it's a big concern. In fact, last week I was spending a lot of my time in terms of trying to understand what the needs are of the staff here, and again to assure that there is continuity and that we're looking at that in terms
this
of
this is
their,
great. Can I make a comment?
Can I just finish my statement?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. But again, the concern is that that there are resources available here to help them complete the jobs, and that that needs to be done, and that we absolutely have all our reporting done on time in a timely manner, and that our some of the deficiencies that were pointed out in the audit, that we can get some of that done to help with that volunteer. And there is a big concern about this office and about the payroll, and I mean the pay load and the staff and the resources to get it done. But we're here and we're trying to make that happen.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Okay, Grace?
Yeah, I'd just like to point out to this committee, as some of you may not be fully aware of the fact that LaVarne has stepped into this. It's only been less than a week and a half. And so we have to be sensitive to the fact that she is in the national office doing her very best, and we have incomplete reporting that has to be concentrated on as the top priority, for instance, completing the audit. And some of those matters have to take priority above things like reporting and cash flow statements, especially since such a short time since she's been in the ICFO position. So I would request that everybody be appreciative of LaVarne's efforts and give her a chance to take a breath before we start our incredible demands on her, as she's already making her own prioritizations.
Thank you.
And also, if there are specific concerns and reporting you'd like to have for the Finance Committee meetings, I suggest that you send them to the entire Finance Committee and to LaVarne at least 3 or 4 days before the meeting.
Well, I didn't have any specific concern. I'm just trying to find out what the processes are, so I wasn't.
No,
sure.
I wasn't addressing
this
to you in any way.
Sure.
Any demands on.
No,
okay,
I wasn't addressing
you,
this to you specifically. I was just, wanting everyone to know that LaVarne and I myself, as acting interim PD, have a tremendous amount on our plates, and just sorting through it to prioritize the tasks is a monumental job.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Grace.
Okay, so the next item on our agenda is priorities for the NFC. I was wondering if we could, we could perhaps switch this and the next item, which is transfer of collateral for line of credit. We could at least get through the line of credit issue and then discuss priorities for the NFC after that, and it could go into the next call. What do you all think about that?
Go ahead.
Okay, well then why don't we do the transfer of collateral for line of credit, and let me introduce this item briefly. You all, I believe most everybody here knows, perhaps Renee does not know this, but last summer Pacifica took out a line of credit for $300,000 from Wells Fargo Bank.
Right. Lonnie Hicks explained that to us at one of our monthly meetings.
Okay, great. And the security for that $300,000 line of credit was a $400,000 CD that was in basically held by KPFA. It was money that KPFA had earned over the years and had put into a CD.
Can
I finish first, though? And then what Pacifica did is basically borrowed on the line of credit up to the max. We spent $300,000, and the CD matured, and now it's in a bank, but we can't spend that money. We can't spend that cash because it's the collateral for the line of credit. Now, the issue is that there's been a bequest that established an endowment of, I believe, $370,000. And the bank said that, well, perhaps you could use that as the collateral for the line of credit, and then that would free up the $400,000 in cash. You know, there's some issues around this.
What is the $370,000? What is that again?
That was a bequest for an endowment. That's the kind of thing it's supposed to... The principal of the $372,000 is not supposed to be touched, but we can use the interest for certain specified purposes. I don't have the text for it, but that's the basic idea.
It's a restricted endowment, the interest of which only can be used. The endowment is to secure national programming. That's the restriction on it, and it's very specific. So the endowment was supposed to be what endowments do in general, and that was to fund programming off of the interest that the endowment produced.
Okay, now, you know, several people had the question. Let's see here. If we're using the endowment as collateral for a loan and we default on the loan, then the bank will take the money, then the bank will take the principal in the endowment, and would that be against the terms of the bequest?
It would.
And I asked this question to Brian, and he sent me one line of text, which I'm trying to find now.
I've got it. The line from the letter is, endowment principal shall not be invaded except under the most exigent of circumstances. So I don't know. You know, I asked our general manager, who has a development background, she didn't think collateralizing it would be appropriate. It seemed ambiguous to me, but the easy answer would be to have someone call and ask the attorney who administered that estate gift. And both the national office and the station have paperwork on it because we each got a portion of the gift. I don't think it's something we should do guesswork about.
It seems to me that it would be because you're putting it at risk. I mean,
that's right.
Well,
this is Summer. Can I?
Okay, go ahead. Summer.
Just to agree with everyone, I mean, I don't think you can encumber something like that if it's dedicated for a specific purpose, because, I mean, that would seem very contrary to the intent of the giver. So I think, you know, in a best practices world, that would probably be frowned upon.
And I might add that the establishment of the restrictions on that took a couple of years to protect and create. So I'm guessing you can't touch it in this way.
This is Grace.
Okay, Grace.
I'd like to suggest that we postpone consideration about this agenda item until we have
I think we should
Jamie?
Just task someone with calling that attorney. I mean, it's not complicated. He administered the estate, call him up, say, is this legit? He says yes or no.
This is LaVarne.
Okay, well, first of all, we have Alberto and then LaVarne.
I think the question should be posed to the attorney that set up the endowment and take it from there. However, one of the considerations is that we cannot, if it comes to pass, if it would come to pass and we would switch the collateral and free up those $400,000 and use the endowment to collateralize the loan, we need to make very sure that we, as a primary responsibility, do not default on those $300,000 because we would have two main reasons why we couldn't default. First, to honor the dead person that bequeathed that money, and second, to not burn our credit rating with Wells Fargo. So, you know, I would say that we need to start really looking at how we're going to start making some kind of payment on the principal on that $300,000 loan, and that should be included in the process.
We are supposed to be making monthly payments on it, to the best of my knowledge.
Are we paying interest or principal?
Yes, interest only.
The National Office budgeted to pay a negligible amount of principal, but has been able to pay only interest. And remember, this is KPFA savings that's tied up. We would certainly be able to appreciate being able to touch our own cash at some point.
Why would we make a loan?
Renee?
Why would we take a line of credit like that? That we're only paying interest only?
Payroll.
Well, we would like to pay it down, but this is another symptom of our financial crunch. We at the end of last summer we really didn't have the cash, so we took the line of credit
to make payroll.
Yes.
And it was pitched to us as a short-term measure where the line of credit would be paid off by a real estate loan that amortized the debt at a lower interest rate over a longer period. But that was something the National Board decided not to pursue. So now we're stuck with
stuff like that. Do we go to an attorney who is, you know, someone like a finance attorney or someone who's a financial expert?
No, the endowment attorney, the attorney that set up the endowment is the person that has the power to...
I wasn't asking that. I was asking a different question. When we make a loan... I was asking about the $300,000 line of credit, and just from listening to you all, you're giving some details of it, which doesn't sound like that great of a deal. And so I'm asking, before we sign on to something like that, do we have an attorney or a financial consultant that could tell us, you know, I mean, just for example, like...
Could I direct this question to Sherry or perhaps Grace?
Yes. Grace and I, and I guess Brian, are all aware of the circumstances surrounding the loan against KPFA's certificate of deposit. It was, the network has been cash strapped for a long time. The most recent, the last year, prior to the loan being considered, a line of credit was proposed, and it was determined at that particular time with input from everybody on the National Finance Committee that we would attempt to secure a line of credit that would be secured by KPFA's certificate of deposit, which had a value of $400,000 and change, and the line of credit was $300,000.
So that wasn't my question. My question was,
only people that were consulted about that particular transaction were members of the National Finance Committee and the CFO.
Well, okay, I guess that's my question. I mean, I'm a lawyer for my union, but when we have, like, specialized questions, let's say, on pensions, we have a pension expert. And even if I research something, because that's what Slevin and Hart do,
we would not make a big decision like that without on pensions without dealing with them, even though we have a department that specializes in that. And so that's why I'm wondering why would, I mean, no offense, but the terms of that don't sound that great, but I don't know because I'm not a finance person, but why wouldn't we, unless we are finance experts ourselves, why wouldn't we consult with a finance expert? And wouldn't it be even more important when we're in such flimsy financial condition?
Because we consider ourselves financial experts. We consider ourselves financial experts. There's 11 of us sitting around the table.
Okay, Alberto, let's see. Brian, did you have a response there?
Yeah, I that sounds like a really good procedure to set up, Renee. I mean, the situation we dealt with, and this is one of the reasons I've been a little bit of a Nazi about asking for cash flow reports, is because we weren't getting cash flow forecasts, and like, boom, in August, we hit one of our seasonal low water marks in terms of cash, and there's this huge panic with very little time going, oh my God, how do we pay the bills, coming from the then executive director. And you may recall, August was about the time all lending institutions ceased lending money in this country to anyone, even people with really good credit.
Right, right.
Because of the credit crisis. So the only thing any of the banks we do business with were willing to give us was a secured line of credit, and the only thing we could secure it against was those CDs, which at the time were not matured. We couldn't touch them. So we did it as a short-term measure. Again, the intention at the time was to switch it over to a real estate loan and only have that line of credit out for a couple months, so that as the CDs matured, they'd become liquid assets for the foundation again. But that's what happened to the real estate loan is a whole different story. It didn't wind up getting approved by the board. So now we're stuck with this line of credit that no one ever intended as anything more than a temporary measure, and we don't have the money to pay it off and get our own cash back.
But we do have the money to make monthly interest payments.
Yes. Okay, well, okay, on this item then, is there agreement that we should follow the course of asking the lawyer who set up the endowment?
Yes. I move that Brian Edwards Tigert be tasked with contacting that lawyer this week and reporting back to the National Finance.
I think I need to do that as the chief, as the interim chief financial officer. But, Brian, I'll get with you on the detail.
This is Summer. Can I ask a question?
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead, Summer.
I guess maybe directed towards Brian. The CD is mature now. From a cost-effective standpoint, would it be wise or feasible to pay off the line of credit with that matured money so we're not paying interest, and then KPFA get paid back by the foundation or cease paying central services until the money is, you know, put back? Or I'm just trying to think creatively here, because paying interest for a long time, if the money is now liquid and you could get access to the other $100,000, if there are a way to, you know, treat you as the lender instead of a bank as the lender, you know, I mean,
right?
Is that a possibility, or?
Well, it's the same.
I'm not an expert on loans, but my understanding is that once you've used that to secure the loan, the only way to get it back is basically to default on the loan, and then
you're kidding. You can't. Wow.
Now say that again. You can't pay off the loan?
when you have a secured line of credit,
mm-hmm.
and you say to the lending institution, okay, just liquidate the thing we used as collateral and pay it off, they then look at you as a credit risk.
Why? It would seem, you know, I mean, if it wasn't mature before, that's why you couldn't access the funds. But if it is now, why wouldn't they be happy to be paid off?
This is only based on my own personal experience. To establish a credit rating when I was 20 years old, I had to set up a secured line of credit. This is what the bank told me. I'm no expert on loans.
Well, can
my
we,
concern,
isn't that a question that we should put to a lawyer or accountant that specializes in that?
Sure, you could. My second concern is that you then turn it into internal debt. And right now our balance sheet shows $1.5 million in internal debt owed to KPFA from the rest of the network that we don't feel like we have any prayer of ever collecting on.
Mm.
So I'd actually rather keep the national office making payments to the bank and have a plan for paying it off than have our staff, who are supervised by the national office, trying to play collector to the national office.
But we're only paying interest right now, though. We're not even paying down the principal.
Right.
This is Grace. Can
we're
I
digging ourselves into a hole.
Go ahead, Grace.
First of all, a point of order. I think with a meeting this large, everybody should be recognized and put on a stack before they speak. Second thing is, does anyone know what the interest rate is on this line of credit?
Seven, maybe?
Just something like that.
7%?
Okay. But I think they also told us it would become adjustable after the first of the calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God!
I haven't seen the paperwork on it, but that was orally reported to us.
Well, maybe we could, this is Summer again, maybe we could investigate some of these, you know, the different, what our different options are, you know, besides, I have a feeling that endowment money is not going to look, you know, I don't think the lawyer there is going to look really attractively on indebting it. So maybe we could just see what our options are. And Brian, do you know offhand what you pay in central services every month to the National?
Well, it fluctuates seasonally. It's over $600,000 a year.
So, I mean, that's what I'm sort of saying is, you know, I mean, if we're paying out a significant amount of money in interest, it sounds more like, you know, the honor system, it's not, you're not getting paid by the National Office, but maybe you could stop paying and we could stop paying interest and it would still save us a significant amount of money without encumbering an endowment. So I'm just thinking we should try to think outside the box here.
It doesn't work.
Sherry.
Yeah, it doesn't work. They just came to KPFA and ABT for additional money to pay Democracy Now! KPFA is a cash cow, and nobody seems to object when all of the resources accumulated by our listening audience are used to pay off the debts of the network as opposed to collateralizing the building in L.A. And if we are to then use KPFA CD, that's a transfer that is prohibited by the, without a full vote of the PMB, according to the 2005 resolution that Brian circulated a few minutes ago.
But it would seem if they're paying $600,000 a year in central services that within 6 months they would be paid back if it were actually adhered to.
It would seem that way,
but
hitting us up for more money
if we withheld central services,
right,
the National Office wouldn't make payroll. I mean, it doesn't make money appear.
What is central services?
Okay, well, folks, let me repeat Grace's concern. It would be nice if people would call out their names so we can have a stack. Anyway, what central services is the money that each station, it's 19.5% of listener support. So revenues from fund drives and other sources like that get classified as listener support. 19.5% of that money goes to the National Office to pay things like Democracy Now!, insurance, and other national bills. Okay, so... so I think we have agreement on what to do on this item. Let's see, it's now 10:31. I'm wondering, folks, do we need a motion from NFC to recommend that the PNB request managers to come up with contingency plans for reducing expenses, given that the information we have now points to... you know, shortfalls. What do people think about that?
Sherry.
Yes, Sherry.
Grace.
You don't have exact figures, so it's difficult to craft a motion. I think certainly notify the stations that the recent fund drives have led us to conclude we would be operating under a deficit and that we would be sending a notice soon about how extreme that is and what actions would have to be taken to correct the deficit. I don't think you can do anything beyond a warning notice that a worse warning notice or instructions are coming.
Okay, so that sounds like a good language. Let me see if I have it for you. It says recent fund drives indicate that there will be...
The cash flow situation is worsening.
Shortages
are worsening. And once the hard data is known, we will be sending instructions to correct deficits in the budgets previously approved for COVID.
We will send instructions. We will send requests for cuts or
increase in income.
We will send, requests for adjustments.
Okay, requests for adjustments.
This is Grace. Can I be on the stack?
Let me just get this language here. So I think it's a good. We have to do something. In previously approved budget.
Maybe you should say for fiscal 09 or whatever it is. Okay,
let me just read what I have here, Sherry. Recent fund drives indicate that cash flow shortages in the network are worsening. Once hard data is known, we will send requests for adjustments in previously approved budgets for fiscal 09.
Sounds okay to me.
Okay. Okay, Grace.
Okay, in case this isn't clear to Finance Committee members, I was elected chair at the L.A. In-person meeting, chair of the board, because there is no interim or permanent ED of Pacifica at the moment, I am the de facto acting interim executive director. In that capacity, I met with the general managers on Thursday, and I wrote a report to the PNB, which I will forward to the Finance Committee. They gave fund drive reports across the network, and it seemed as though averaging them out, doing a quick little bit of arithmetic in my head, that the average shortfall is 20% below goal. I asked the GMs if that was basically the truth, and they said yes. Now, I had earlier, as a member of the Finance Committee, done a little calculation and found that approximately half, actually almost exactly half, of the expenses in our budget for all the stations are fixed expenses. In other words, they've already been reduced as much as they can possibly be reduced. Of the unfixed expenses, the bulk of it is payroll. So therefore, as we can't reduce the fixed expenses, the main place that we can reduce expenses is in payroll. A 20% shortfall, which will probably get even more severe as there are more layoffs in the country and as the economic situation in the United States increases, we're going to see even further shortfalls probably. But anyway, a 20% shortfall in income would have to result in a 40% reduction in payroll if we fixed our financial problems using austerity measures only. That is untenable. That would make some of our stations completely unoperational. Therefore, we must start looking at improving revenue generation. We are not going to be able to survive as a network unless we concentrate on efforts to improve income. And that has to be done, in my opinion, looking at the numbers, talking to the GMs, that has to be done immediately. We're going from calamity financially to catastrophe as a network.